When I was young, I was weightless. I sailed through life as if nothing would stop me. But not all dreams are meant to last. Soon the winds would change and my momentum would slow. Life itself would overtake the pure joy of those soaring days. Those feelings of unhinged freedom all but faded. Someone told me the sky was God's and everything in it. If that's true, then where is he now? The field would never look the same. But maybe it wasn't meant to. Maybe it wasn't the field that changed. Maybe it was me. Maybe I've always been changing. But is it possible that the child of faith is still in there somewhere, buried deep inside, longing to be free, looking to walk, to run, to soar again? I lift my eyes to the heavens. I lift my eyes to you. Help me to fly again.
King. worship such a good Father who cares and who loves and who's faithful and who is worthy of praise. So let's lift our voices together and sing this out. Say, come all you weary, come all you thirsty, come to the well that never runs dry. Drink of the water, come and thirst no more. And come all you sinners, come find his mercy. Come to the table, he will satisfy. Taste of his goodness, find what you're looking for. All right, let's sing this out. Say, for God so loved the world.
Happy Father's Day. Go ahead and grab a seat. We're so glad that you've joined us this weekend. Those of you around the building and line on with us, thank you so much for being here too. Happy Father's Day to all you dads and granddads out there. What an incredible day to celebrate not just fatherhood here on planet Earth, but also to celebrate our God and to celebrate all that he's done for us. I don't know if you have plans today, but I'm grilling ribs. Yes, I am. It's going to be good. I hope you have something planned because it's a great day to cook. Anyway, really glad that you're here. There is a lot happening in and around in our church. And so if you are new to our congregation, thanks for joining us. The best way to know what's happening is right in front of you, there's a white and orange index card at the top. There's a scan code that you could scan with your phone, take you right to our website. There's tons of information out there that'll help you know what's happening from week to week. But if you're a dad or a granddad, then like me, you probably want to encourage your kids, inspire them, help them grow, become all that they can be. And I've got two opportunities for you today that I want to share with you for a dad or a granddad to encourage your kids to get involved. The first is Summer Jam. We're about 10 days away from our version of Vacation Bible School. It is the highlight of the summer around here. We've got about 400 kids that have already celebrated and joined in to register for Summer Jam. So don't miss out on that. We've got a Summer Jam booth out in the lobby. You could take your kids out there, find out more information, get involved. Plus, if you're not busy, we'd love for you to serve and join our team and help put on a great experience for these kids. Again, it's about 10 days away, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday night. More information is out there in the lobby. Second of all, White Sox need some help, so we thought we'd help their pipeline. We're going to have a baseball, softball camp coming up in July with Parkview One Athletics, pre-K through fifth grade. So if you're interested, registration is online. Spaces are limited. So if that's you, check it out online, register today, and don't miss out on a chance to learn the game of baseball. And then finally, just 2 days ago, we sent a group of 13 students, along with staff and some volunteers, to rebuild and help construction on a school down in Mexico with our global mission partners. We're very excited about that. So if you think about it, pray for them. They're working hard right now to help do some great work down there. But I say that because you have done an incredible job of supporting the ministry of Parkview. So if you have given over this year, thank you for doing that. You're helping us make an impact, not just locally, but also around the world. And if you've never participated in giving here at Parkview, I want to encourage you to do that today. There is an envelope right in front of you. You could put the gift in there and leave it at a door on your way out, or you could just head out to parkviewchurch.com/give and give right there on our website. We are thankful that you're here for Father's Day. We're excited to celebrate with you. Thanks for coming this weekend. Happy Father's Day, and welcome to Parkview.
How much time do we have?
Not much, sir.
Who do we have on standby?
The bench is tight right now. Freak Out, Spud, and Teacup.
Oh boy.
How about Spud?
Only if Teacup goes with him.
Good call.
Get a hold of Spud.
Yes, sir.
Don't forget Teacup.
Of course, sir. Spud, Teacup, it's go time.
Team, this one is simple. We've pushed the coordinates to you, hit the target, and get out of there. And Teacup?
Yes, sir.
Take Spud out for a joy right after you're done.
Yes, sir. I was gonna do it anyway.
Time to target.
30 seconds.
I got all the time in the world. Increase speed. Can I anchor my target, Spud? Almost there. Target acquired. Bombs away. Did we get a clean hit?
Well done, brother. It's been an honor flying with you.
Don't get all mushy on me. Let's kick the tires and light the fire.
Go for sound.
Testing one. Testing two.
Let it roll.
Well done, Spud. You earned it.
Always liked that guy.
I feel the need for speed. This is my 33rd Father's Day, and that just felt appropriate, okay? That's all I can say. Welcome, everybody. Happy Father's Day to you at Homer Glen, New Lenox, Orland Park, online. Good to have you with us. I actually like that thing. I think I'm going to get one with the little thing that goes on the back of the car, man. We have done, if you're new, if you're wondering, like, what's going on, like, 12, 13 years ago, I decided to ride a Harley in for Father's Day because we really wanted to try to reach the guys. I mean, that's really, you know, most churches get the women and the children, but we really wanted to reach the dads. And so I rode a Harley in. And then after that, everybody was like, well, what are you going to do next year? And I didn't really know I was starting something, but I did. And so next year I rappelled down from the catwalk up there and burned my hands and, you know, and we did Mission Impossible. And one thing led to another. And so, you know, this just felt appropriate. I'm going to show you a little video, change out of my flight suit. It's a little tight through the middle here, and let you see some of the famous Father's Day entrances of the past.
What are you doing in my chair?
Checking my email.
No. Beat it, pal.
Your beard looks like crap, too, by the way.
Yeah, throw that guy in jail. Yeah, you won't miss him. Skinny, ugly dude. All right. Bring the band in. Woo. Well, all right. Let's go. We won't fit in a box. We don't quit, we won't stop. Ride us all to the top. We won't fit in a, we won't fit in a, we won't fit in a box. No. We don't quit, we won't stop.
Crazy nut.
Happy Father's Day, everybody. It's a lot. I mean, it was a lot of pressure. This is probably my last Father's Day. We've got a new senior pastor coming. I'm going to go into the co-pilot seat or something, maybe back in the back and serve peanuts, and you're going to have a new pilot. And so this is like, you know, like, what do I do? I mean, what do I talk about if this is my last one? Do I talk about the Bears? Do I talk about the fact that golf is on at 9 o'clock at night because they're playing in LA? Do I talk about McGregor punching out the mascot? I mean, what are the guy things I should be talking about? So here's the what we came up with was this pilot deal. And Top Gun, you know, obviously so great. But there's this website. If you're wondering about Spud and Teacup, there's a website some nerdy person in in Australia with no time, nothing but time on their hands, came up with to get your own pilot cosign. You can go on and figure it out yourself. Just put in your name and it gives you some random thing. So mine came up as Spud. Bill Brown's came up as Teacup, and Todd Clark's was Bonehead. I don't know how they all come up that way. But here's what we were thinking. Father's Day is a lot like being a fighter pilot. I mean, it really is. I mean, being a father is like being a fighter pilot. You jump into something, into the seat of something that is way more valuable than anything you've ever done before. And after you take off, your mind and your body are pushed to the absolute limit, right, dads? I mean, when you become a dad, the baby comes out and they clean it up and the medical professionals go, "Congratulations, dad." And what happens? You're like looking around, right? And I don't know if, you know, they used to say it's a boy or it's a girl. I don't know if they're legally allowed to even do that anymore. But back in my day, they could say that, right? And at some point, you know, she says, "Congratulations, dad." And you're looking around for your dad or somebody else. And you realize she's talking to you. He's talking to you. And that's where the G-force starts to happen as a dad. I'm telling you, ladies, I just don't think it's as natural for us as it is for you. Moms have a baby, they've gone through all of this pain and this turmoil, and they grab the baby, throw it up on their chest, and it's like they've known what to do all of their lives, right? One woman said she was out walking with her daughter one day, 4-year-old daughter, and the daughter reached down to, you know, elf pick up a piece of gum or candy that was on the ground and put it in her mouth. And she said, "Don't do that." And the little girl said, "Why?" And she said, "Because it's got germs all over it." And this, at this point, a little girl, instead of arguing, she said, "How do you know this stuff?" And the mom said, "I was thinking quickly, and I said, well, all mommies know this stuff. It's on the mommy test. You have to know it or they don't let you be a mommy." And so they walked on a little bit longer, and the little girl looked up and goes, "Oh, I get it. And if you flunk, you have to be the daddy." Right. That's how it works. That's what it feels like, right? So you're in a fighter pilot where the G-force is coming in. And if you don't understand the G-force, it's one times your body weight, okay? One is your normal gravity body weight. But sometimes as a fighter pilot, you can pull as many as 8 or 9 G's while you're flying, which means 9 times your body weight, right? So instead of feeling like you weigh 200 pounds, you weigh 1,800 pounds. And your heart and your mind and your bones and your spirit are pushed to their limit. And I'm telling you, it doesn't ever go away. It doesn't ever go away, no matter how old you are as a parent. You hop in the jet of being a parent, and you might be cruising along at 1 or 2 G's, feeling pretty good. I can do this. And then something happens, and the circumstances around you change, and the pressure on you is really intense. And it's the weight of your life and your spouse's life and your kids' lives and maybe your parents' lives and your home and your job and your very life. So I want to help you. I want to start off with some biblical advice for you, shock, right, for fathers. And then we're going to land at a place where everybody can understand who their real father is. And I picked this scripture because I think it's really, it's the end of Paul's letter to the Corinthian church, and it's got a military feel to it. He's talking to the men, and he says, here's what I want you to do. Be on your guard, stand firm in the faith, be men of courage, be strong, do everything in love. So I'm going to give you 4 words out of here that I think will sum up the whole thing. The first one is be on your guard, right? For the dangers and the opportunities of your kids. Be alert, okay? This is a military thing, like watching over them. Be on guard. You're on the guard of the camp. That's what your job is as a man. It's a military metaphor, and you're watching out for things that are going on. And dads, I got to ask you, are you doing this? Because it's got to be a lot harder for you than it ever was for me. You got this little thing beaming in information to them all the time. Do you know what's on there? Do you know what's happening around them? Be alert, because Satan is trying to get your kids all messed up, I'm telling you. So a good question, I read this in a parenting book this week, a good question to ask yourself is, what would a good dad do in this situation? I'm not saying you're a good dad or a bad dad. I'm a good dad, you're a bad dad. I'm just saying, okay, here I'm in this situation. What would a good dad focus on tonight, right? One of my favorite stories is from Nehemiah, And he's rebuilding the wall of Jerusalem. It's an Old Testament scripture. And he says, we built the wall. Those who carried the materials did their work with one hand and held a weapon in the other hand. Okay, there was enemies out there. And I just think this is a great metaphor for the family, because honestly, he tells them to fight for their families. They're building the wall to protect their families. But it hit me this week. I've read this a lot. I've preached from it, right? It hit me this week that when you're working and you've got one hand, you can still work with one hand on the sword and one hand on the trowel. But when it's time to get the sword, you don't mess around anymore, right? You get the sword, you grab the sword. And dads, I'm just telling you, I raised three daughters. And the people from my parents' generation would always say, man, I don't know how you do. I don't know how you do it. I don't know how you raise daughters in this world the way it is now. And you know what? It wasn't easy, but I'm going to tell you, I don't know how you guys are doing it, because I think it's harder on you than it was on me. But you want to know something? The world's always been a little screwed up. I mean, ever since Adam and Eve, the world has been screwed up. And raising daughters wasn't easy, but I was on watch. I was on watch for the dangers and the opportunities. The Old Testament says, train up a child in the way they should go. In other words, do you know who your kids are? I mean, our oldest daughter, Rachel, we put her in softball when she was in third grade, and everybody was miserable, right? She was miserable. Her teammates were miserable. Everybody was miserable. So we didn't make her do that ever again. And then we get to this moment in seventh grade where her band director, she's in a jazz band at Mokena Junior High, and her band director says, hey, I want somebody to sing along with this song. And we go to this concert, and all of a sudden Rachel comes out. I remember it like yesterday. My parents happened to be there to see it, and Rachel sang this song with the jazz band in seventh grade, and we all went, oh, she can sing, okay? And so we helped her to pursue that, and we never made her play softball ever again, right? And we pursued that, and now I see them, and we did that with all of our kids, because some of them actually had athletic ability, and we encouraged that. And then I see them doing this with their kids. Our oldest granddaughter, Olivia, is in ballet, because that's just, I mean, she's just made that way. She knows that's what she wants to do. And then recently, George Timothy, my six-year-old, who my namesake, my little mini-me, I don't know, 3 months ago, we don't know what happened, but he just started throwing himself on the ground and breakdancing. He just started spinning around, and he wasn't bad for not knowing what he was doing. So Rachel and Ash decided, you know what, we need to encourage this. We're going to be alert. And you can't find breakdancing lessons for a six-year-old. But they had hip-hop classes, and they got him in a hip-hop class, and it was unbelievable. And, I don't know where that goes, but that's what I'm talking about. Pay attention to who your kids are. Pay attention to what's going on. Don't be so stuck in your own world and your own work and your own fun and your own phone that you forget what's going on with your kids, okay? Number two, it's courage. Stand firm in the faith. Be men of courage. A strong understanding of who God is, okay? This is alert with the courage to be the warrior, the courage to be the guard. In Exodus 14, Moses leads the children of Israel out of Egypt and towards the promised land. And the first thing that happens is they run into the Red Sea. They're all like, Moses, what's going on? There's a sea here and the Egyptian army is behind us. And either God did it on purpose or Moses did it on purpose, because Moses said, do not, this is what I want you to hear, fathers, do not be afraid, stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. In the opposition that comes, in the face of opposition, standing strong. Whatever it is that's going on in your life, whatever Satan is throwing at you, it's about standing strong. And then, if you don't know the story, God showed up, parted the waters, and drowned the Egyptian army that was chasing them. And Moses, he didn't say, see, I told you so. But in one of the verses right after that, he said, the Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name. And I know, you know, a lot of people have more of a Santa Claus view of God than they do of a superhero, but what if he really does have power to help you? That should give you courage to stand firm. He can't help you if you're always running away. So alert, courage, strength. Again, misconceptions about who God is, right? Do you think of strength when you think of Jesus? Luke said, when he was growing up, the child grew and became strong and was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. He became strong. Why did he throw that in there? Because he was strong. John Eldridge in Wild at Heart writes, which of the three people do you think Jesus is most like? Mr. Rogers, Mother Teresa, or William Wallace from Braveheart? All three of them exhibited strength in different ways. If you're a child, he said, Jesus would have been Mr. Rogers, right? Jesus said, let the children come to me and do not hinder them. It's one of the times he got mad. Don't mess with the children. I'm going to be there for you. If you were a leper, Eldridge says, or an outcast, he would relate to you with Mother Teresa's strength, and he would be there with you and help heal you. But if you were oppressive and arrogant and got in the way of the love of God, he was William Wallace. I mean, think of the last scene of Braveheart. Wallace is dying, and he says, they cannot take our freedom. And that's basically exactly what Jesus did on the cross, as he died for us so that they couldn't take away our freedom. And Jesus was a man. He was a strong man as the Son of God. In the temple courts, he found men selling cattle, sheep and doves, and others sitting at tables exchanging money. So he made a whip out of cords, and he drove them all from the temple area, both sheep and cattle, and he scattered the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. You understand that Jesus made people mad all the time? Do you get that? I mean, because he was strong when it came to protecting the love of God getting to his people. I wrote a book about it, right? Philip Yancey said it this way. How would telling people to be nice to one another get a man crucified? What government would execute Captain Kangaroo? And I know that's an old illustration. That's why you need a younger senior pastor. I'm just telling you right now. Some of you are like, what's a Captain Kangaroo? It doesn't matter. I'm done. I don't care, okay? Jesus was strong. And he had a strong message, and they killed him for it, okay? But let's not forget the thing that holds it all together, and that is to do everything in love. I mean, dads, you're not going to love like moms, right? Somebody sent me this. I thought it was great. Difference between moms and dads, right? Yeah, I love that one. Yep, there you go, okay? Please listen to me, okay? You're not gonna love like your wife, okay? I'm supposed to be the guy that pushes him. And as a grandpa, I push him even more probably than I did my own kids. But this is also not some macho fest I'm describing here. The Bible says, in all things, put on love. To be a godly man means that we make a commitment to be alert, to have courage, to be strong, but to have love over all of it. And I'll read a scripture for you, and I promise you it makes me feel guilty. So if it makes you feel guilty, then don't take it too personally, because this is the ideal of love that you normally hear in a wedding ceremony, which sounds very idealistic and wonderful. But Paul wasn't really describing a wedding. He was describing what love ought to look like. And as dads, this is what our goal ought to be. Love is patient. Love is kind. I'm 0 for 2. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. My son-in-law, Tommy, is going to sing a song for you in a minute. And Rachel and I were talking about this one line that's a killer line in there. He says, you're going to have to forgive me for the stuff that I've done someday, but I hope that in my broken, you can see that in my brokenness is where the light got in. And it's amazing grace, how sweet the sound. I mean, this is the ideal. Nobody gets it, but this is the ideal we're searching for. If you don't have a goal, you're not going to hit it, right? So here's an idea we came up with, some simple way to help you on Father's Day, maybe especially if you've got younger kids or younger grandkids around. You probably saw in the news that the Russians blew up a dam in the Ukraine, and it's made a whole lot more refugees happen into Poland. And we've been working in the Polish border town of Siemisz. And we've sent 100 people there from Parkview already, and we're sending some more people over in 3 weeks. And we've created a project for you, because what happened was on Monday, we had a staff meeting, and our missions team said, hey, what if our staff prepares some cool stuff to be able to give to refugees, and they can take them with the team that goes in July, and we can encourage them. So here's a website for you. You'll remember it. It's parkviewchurch.com/Father's Day. All right, really simple. And we're going to give you, I just thought, what if we gave you all an opportunity to do something with your kids? And one of the things that we did was they had Ukrainian phrases and then the English translation below it. And it's a completely different alphabet. So your kids could learn a little bit of Ukrainian. They can write, I'm praying for you in Ukrainian or whatever, and draw them some pictures or whatever and support them. And we will take them with us in July when we go to visit. And just imagine that you're a kid, your dad's off fighting because all the men are off fighting, and your mom and you, maybe some siblings, are getting ready to get on a train and don't know where you're going, okay? Those are the kids that are going to get these little packets. It's just a way for us to do something practical on Father's Day. Here's a picture of some of our stuff already happening inside the war zone, being given to flood victims inside the war zone. And I learned Ukrainian, and that says Tim is awesome. So, you know, now I'll help you if you want. I don't have any idea what it says. But imagine you're those kids and you get to have some bit of an encouragement, all right? I'm just encouraging you to do that. Bring the stuff back to Parkview, send it in, drop it off, whatever, and we'll get it there. Again, John Eldridge says this, Christianity isn't a religion about going to Sunday school, potluck suppers being nice, holding car washes, sending our secondhand clothes to Mexico, even though those are all great things, as good as those things might be, this is a world at war. Something large and immensely dangerous is unfolding around us. And guys, I hope that challenges you as a dad, because you were made to fly. You were made to pilot your family. You weren't made to fly alone. You were made to fly your family, but you also weren't made to fly in your own strength. And here's where I need to take you right now, okay? I couldn't be a good father. I couldn't be anything close to a good father without the strength of God. And Isaiah says, do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord, the everlasting God, he's the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary. If you're feeling the G-forces right now, he increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar. This is a verse you probably have heard before. They will soar on wings like eagles, they will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. God knows it's going to be hard. God knows it's going to be difficult, but he's going to be there to help you. You've seen an eagle or a bird of prey somewhere floating on the sky and see that they're not really doing anything because they've grabbed a thermal and they're just floating on the wind. God's power inside of you is the ability to rise up above it and be alert and have courage and be strong and do all things in love as a dad. And if you find yourself in a situation where you forget that, you won't forget what I'm getting ready to do. Because about 10 years ago, I found this video, and to me, it just exemplified what it looks like to be a dad with the strength of God beneath you, okay? And it's very funny. It's called A Guy on a Buffalo. And many of you that were around back in the day are shaking your heads now because you remember it. And what I want you to understand is that when you are going through the hard times, you need to turn back around and chase that bear because you are a guy on a buffalo.
One day the guy on the buffalo was cruising around through the plain, seeing a bear. And he thought to himself, oh man, I gotta get away from the bear. Hope he don't chase, oh no, he's gonna chase me. Oh no, I better just turn around and chase him back. Cause guess what? I'm on a buffalo.
You're welcome. Yes. Now you'll remember my point, right? You're a guy on a buffalo. Hey, bear, bet you didn't know I'm a guy on a buffalo. Just be encouraged, dads, this Father's Day, will you? That you got that strength to be able to do what God wants you to do. And there's a song that I wanted to share with you kind of as an old dad, and I didn't want to sing it as an old dad because that wouldn't be encouraging. So my son-in-law, Tommy's going to come out and sing it for you. It's a Dave Barnes song that when I heard it, I was just like, this is what I want for you all to hear. This is the song that I want my kids to hear. It's a song, it's called Song for My Children. And it's a song for his kids. It's a song from me to my kids and a song from me to my grandkids. And I hope you can claim this as your own right now. Let's listen.
I swear sometimes I miss you, like I'm already gone. Your little laugh, the sunset on your face. Hope I'm years and years from leaving. I could always tell goodbye. There's things I need to tell you just in case. May your life be long, your friendship steep. May your heart be kind. I pray you know the peace of God and how dearly I love you. I thought that I was living until you came along, but now gift for me, and every day with you is twice as sweet. May your life be long, your friendships deep. May your heart be kind and true. I pray you know the peace of God and how dearly I love you. Oh. Someday you may need forgive me
for things that I've done wrong. You can blame me for the things I've handed down, but I beg you, see the brokenness is how the light got in. Amazing grace, oh how sweet the sound. Oh, may your life be long, your friendships deep, may your hearts be kind and true. Oh, I pray you know the peace of God, how dearly I love you.
Not only would it not have sounded good, I couldn't have got through it. Forget it. That's a great song, isn't it? It just feels to me like Father's Day is not complete without me helping you understand who your real father is. We did 156 baptisms last weekend. You can clap for that. And then we got a really fun surprise last night after the service. Our oldest granddaughter, Olivia, and her cousin, Henry, got baptized. That's my first grandkid to get baptized right there. So Father's Day has been awesome for all of us. But I mentioned that because as I was baptizing over in Orland here, I kept just feeling like God wanted me to tell people, hey, listen, your father loves you, your father forgives you, your father is proud of you. And I said that to literally everybody in the tub because I feel like if we could just grab a hold of the love of God and the forgiveness of God and how proud he is of us, even if things aren't the way we think they ought to be, that it would change everything. And we're adopted. I mean, don't think that you deserve any of this. You're adopted, right? Several years ago, I told the story of one of our little ones that had been adopted from an orphanage in another country. We have a ton of adopted kids around here. It's a big value for us, taking care of kids, period. But this story especially was really interesting because this was a person who was not going to have the medical attention they needed. They were going to be in an orphanage, and they got adopted over here into a family that was going to take care of them. And I just used it as an illustration to talk about what God has done for us. And it's a beautiful illustration. One day, literally, our future is not that sure. And all of a sudden, the next day, we have inheritance in heaven. We got adopted. That's how it is. And many of you know that story because you were adopted or you have adoption in your family and you were brought into a family that you might not have otherwise had. And I mentioned that our middle daughter, Tommy's wife, Lauren, felt called in high school to adopt. So for 3 years, they've been working on the process and going through the process of trying to adopt. They have two kids already, but they felt like they wanted to adopt and help a child be in their family. They wanted to do that. And it was a really hard process. And then we got up to just before Easter and they thought they had one and it fell apart. And things I can't tell you about that made it really, really hard, but a failed adoption's always going to be hard. And I just got up at Easter and I just said, you know, I'm not at that place this Easter where everything turned out the way that it ought to. And sometimes that's just where you're at. Sometimes that's how things happen. Of course, I didn't know. And I said, sometimes you got to wait on God for the answer. What I didn't know is that there was another woman who had actually picked Tommy and Lauren to be the parents of her child, and they were already in the process of the other one. And so when that one fell through, at the very last minute, I'd like to introduce you to my seventh grandchild, Micah Henry Carreras. Who's asleep? Sometimes you just don't know how the story's going to turn out. And I wanted to bring him out here because I can. And I also wanted to read this scripture for you. But when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive full rights as sons. Because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Daddy, Father. You are no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has made you an heir. Satan is going to try to tell you that you don't belong in the family, that you aren't good enough, and in a sense, he's probably right. But it doesn't matter about your brokenness. That's where the light got in. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Like Micah now has full rights as Tommy and Lauren's son, as Nana and my grandson, as Papa Bob and Gaga's grandson also. He's in this giant family all of a sudden, and he's getting more kisses than any baby's ever gotten in their entire life. It had nothing to do with who he is or what he's done. It's because we wanted to love him. Jesus said, I'm returning to my Father and your Father. One of the last things he said, to my God and to your God. And that's the story of the true Father's Day. No matter who your father was, no matter how Father's Day has gone for you, will you please understand that it's one day that ought to really make sense to us as believers. And I was hoping my dad was going to be able to be here to help us, lead us into communion, but just wasn't feeling up to it. So my oldest daughter, Rachel, decided to jump in at the last minute and help me out with it while I'm holding the baby. She's going to give us some thoughts as we get our hearts ready. And I'll tell you right now, you can go ahead and get the cups ready. Pull that little piece of cellophane off the top where the bread is and be ready for that to happen. And then we'll do communion together in just a second.
Look at this pumpkin. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, he loves his papa.
Oh, I'm just so happy to be with you guys. I grew up in this church, and this was the place that I learned that I had a good father who loved me. And I just pray that you can know that as deeply as I learned it as a kid here, too. This is a special place, and I'm just so happy to be here with you guys this weekend. We try to memorize scripture with our kids from time to time. They're little, so they're much better at it, and it kind of holds me accountable, which is nice. And the last scripture that we memorized just felt really pertinent to this weekend, and it's the very, very end of Peter's Pentecost sermon. This is kind of a big moment. This is when Peter busts out, and finally he's like the new Peter. He's got the Holy Spirit now, and he preaches this big sermon, and 3,000 people get baptized, and it's so great. And we memorized the next verse, which is so good. And it says, and when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated, common men, they were astonished. And they took note that they had been with Jesus. And we come to the table and remember every week that we don't bring anything to the table, that we don't have to have any kind of qualifications other than being with Jesus. In this series, you've been saying, give Jesus a year and he'll change your life. I mean, it's crazy to think that the disciples were only with Jesus for 3 years. That's all the time that they spent with him, and they changed the face of history. So everything that God has called you to do, whoever it is that you feel like he's calling you to be, the parent he's calling you to be, the man and the woman, this is what qualifies you. And if you are hesitant to accept the fact that he wants you in his family, then we also come to the table every week and we remember just what he went through, because he wants you to know that this is the proof of how deep his love runs for you, that he would allow himself to suffer in this way. That's how much he wants you to not be separated from him. So you got to leave all your excuses at the door. Like, he just doesn't care. He loves you so much.
So I'm going to give you a minute just to think about that and contemplate what's going on this Father's Day, and then we'll come back together and we'll take the emblems. Just take a minute and pray to yourself silently. take the bread. And remember, we do this every week here. You don't have to be from Parkview. We welcome you if you're a believer. Just take the bread and remember that Jesus, he gave his body for you. Take and eat. And he said, I want you to take some of the fruit of the vine and remember my blood that was shed for you. Take and drink. Father, as I stand here and hold this little miracle answer to our prayers and think about who he is and who he's going to be and the journey ahead of him and think about how I could love a six-week-old as much as I do, I want everybody who's watching this right now, listening to me, to understand that this is how much you love them, but it's times infinity. And if we're at a place right now where times are hard and it'd be kind of nice to be able to take a nap snuggled up on our Father in heaven, will you help this image just stay burned in our minds? And if it's a time when we need to remember that we're a guy on a buffalo and we need to get out there and we need to fight against the bear, we need to do the things that we need to do as a dad, help us to remember that that is there as well. Encourage us. Lord, thank you. It's in your name that we pray. Amen.
Yeah, we're really excited about this. Friends, I want to introduce you to Joey and Nicole. These are their two sons, Austin and Parker. Joey and Nicole have been an incredible influence here around our church, huge volunteers in our student ministry. And it's no surprise, you guys, that you want to take this moment to baptize your kids. What an incredible moment to be here with you all. Joey and Nicole are moving to South Carolina. So we're really sad about that, but an incredible moment to be here with you and your family and to celebrate the waters of baptisms with your kids. So Joey, why don't you go ahead and take it away.
I believe that Jesus is the Christ, Son of the living God. He is my personal Savior.
All right, next.
I'm trying to get through without crying.
You got it.
Ready? I believe. Jesus is the Christ. The Son of the Living God. And He is my personal Savior. Because of your faith. Hold it right. You're in grace.
That's a Father's Day right there. That's what I'm talking about. Tommy got to do that with his daughter last night, and Zach with his son. I mean, that's what it's all about. So I'm going to ask you to stand with me and indulge me, because I'm going to have my whole family come out and do this with us, and we've got to sing Good, Good Father to close Father's Day. That's just how it's got to go. So join us. Come on up, guys.
It's who I am. And I
God's love so undeniable. I can hardly speak. Peace so unexplainable. I can hardly think as you call.
God, thank you for this church that helped me and Denise be able to have a place where this could all be possible. And I look out at the many faces of people that I know were a part of this journey. I'm thankful for those baptisms that we just saw, Lord, and for their new church in South Carolina, but for the old church here that was able to help them. And I'm just thankful for the body of Christ and how well it is, how well it works. And I'm thankful that we could be here for Father's Day to acknowledge that it all comes from you, our Heavenly Father. Thank you. We can't be grateful enough. May the Lord bless us and keep us. May He make His face shine upon us and be gracious to us. May the Lord lift His countenance upon us. Give us peace. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the fellowship of His Holy Spirit be with us now and forever. Amen. Happy Father's Day, everybody. Thank you for mine.